Hello.
Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ.
How's everybody doing tonight? Let us know that the sound is clear and that you're picking up a signal as we prepare for this study tonight. We're in David's Psalms, as we have been for the past several weeks now, the 73 Psalms that's attributed to David. And so we kind of made a mistake yesterday, Lady Kim. We said we're at chapter 15, I believe, but
yeah.
we covered 15 last week. And so we're moving right into 16, 17, and 18 tonight. Is that right?
That's right.
And I think the noonday class, they were at 17, if I'm not mistaken, if that's what Evangelist Patterson indicated. And so we're right. We're pretty much in the same vein. But we praise God for each of you tonight as we're preparing for this study. And we thank God for his keeping power and for him protecting us throughout this day. The rain has been on and off in different places, and it poured down pretty good over here today. But we praise God that we need the sunshine and we need
the rain.
And so I believe it's going to be some beautiful flowers that's going to come up and some grass that's going to be a little greener.
Thank you, Lord.
But we praise God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. So let's just go ahead and get started tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right in, see if we can cover some of this territory tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for being God all by yourself. You are a healer and a deliverer,
yes,
and all powers within your hands.
Yes.
And we know that there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. We know that our faith is increased as a result of us studying your word. And so we thank you that our faith is going to be increased tonight, that your word is going to give us power to run on a little while longer.
Yes, God.
So now, God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and praise God. All right, well, we welcome each of you, and we praise God for this time together tonight. We're in Psalms, there are 73 Psalms, as we indicated a few minutes ago, that are attributed to David. This is probably going to take us almost to the end of the year, Lady Kim. As we make our way through some 28 weeks, so that's going to probably pretty much take us to the end of the year. And when you talk about that word psalm, it means praise. And each psalm contains an element of praise to God. And so you also see David crying out, and he's going through some difficult times. He's joyful and he's very expressive, and he's dedicating himself to God. And you know, David was a man after God's own heart.
That's what it is.
And so these Psalms are really a reflection or a journal, if you will, of some of the things not only for that happened to David, but a clear indication of some things that we might experience, maybe not at that same level, but some of the same things that we have to experience. And the Psalms are excellent. It's an excellent place to start if you want to just really kind of develop your reading and get through it without, you know, fumbling and bumbling. A lot of people want to start at the very beginning and work their way through, but the Psalms is a good place to start. And so these 73 Psalms that's attributed to David, they are broken down into divisions, and we indicated that on last week, where it talks about the different sections. We're talking about the section where it indicates that God is beside us.
Right.
That's the first section. And then the second section, it talks about God before us, and then God is all around us, God is above us, and that last section talks about God is among us.
All right.
And so we're trying to get through this. So chapter 16 is where we'll start tonight. But before we go there, we had a very good service on yesterday. And Lady Kim, just fill us in, if you will, about what happened in the service on yesterday at 8 time.
Well, I'm going to be pretty quick because I know we said we're going to go through the 18th chapter of Psalms, and Psalms 18 has 50 verses.
Yeah.
So it's the longest psalm that we will have encountered thus far by David. So on yesterday, your sermon title was, No Matter What, Rejoice in the Lord Always. Rejoice in the Lord Always. And you came from Philippians 4, fourth through the seventh verses, where it says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I love that text. I really do. First of all, when it talks about rejoice in the Lord, it says always.
Always.
Not sometimes. But always, and that was your first point, rejoice
mm-hmm.
always,
mm-hmm.
no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, you know, no matter how you feel. Sometimes you have to make yourself rejoice in the
Lord. That's right, that's right.
Because you get up, you don't feel right, you know, you don't feel, I dare you to just raise your hand and give God some praise.
My.
A lot of times you can praise your way out of some situations. You can praise your way out of your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You can praise your way up out of stuff. So you just rejoice
mm-hmm.
in the Lord.
Okay.
Not sometimes. Not when you feel like it.
Yeah.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Always.
And then you said, don't let the external hinder the internal. Meaning, don't let what's going on outside of you
mm-hmm.
Hinder what how you feel on the inside.
That's right.
All right. And so I think you said something like, your happiness, happiness does not depend on your happenings.
Right.
All right. Happiness does not depend on your happenings, which means you can be happy and you can still be going through.
Mm-hmm.
You could be happy and not have a dime to your name.
That's right.
You can be happy and still, you know, lose your job.
Okay.
You know, so your happiness is not dependent on your happening, or don't let what's going on externally hinder what's going on internally.
Okay.
The Bible also says the joy of the Lord is our strength.
My.
So we have to let the joy of the Lord drive us. All right. And then your third point was, let your behavior reflect your belief.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're going through a difficult situation, you know, respond in the opposite way.
Okay.
if someone has treated you badly, you
mm-hmm.
know, don't get mad at them. Don't get upset.
Okay.
Still be kind and nice to them.
Okay.
That, I don't mean let them abuse you and use you.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right. But don't treat them the same way that they've treated you.
Wow.
That's the fastest way you can shut the enemy down.
That's powerful.
It's
That's
treat
powerful.
Them with kindness and love. Let your behavior reflect your belief. If you believe in Jesus, you ought to act like Jesus.
Okay.
We used to have a saying some years ago, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, what would Jesus do? Do we really reflect on that when we, you know, when we're going through things? Do we really reflect and stop and think, okay, if Jesus were in this situation, what would he do?
And how would I respond?
And how would I respond? Let me respond in
like,
that
like
same
Jesus,
way.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, Lady Kim, and you're absolutely right, because many times people go through different circumstances and situations. We know that Paul had gone through some stressful persecution. He was in prison. He was writing to this church in Philippi that he really had a strong relationship with. And he was personally letting them know how he felt about what he was going through. And I think many times when we get in a place where we're going through, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we have something on the inside.
Yes.
that will sustain us. For the word says, greater is he that's within
greater.
Us than he that's within the world. And I know a lot of times people look at their circumstances differently,
mm-hmm.
and they say, "Well, I'm going through this, and I don't see how I'm going to be able to have the kind of joy that you're talking about.
Right.
Because, see, the enemy's number one responsibility is trying to throw us off track and not allow us to fully enjoy the joy that God has given us.
Yes.
But for us to be down and for us to be, disappointed and for us to be sad and for us to be negative. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so if we believe that God is who he say he is, then we ought to allow our behavior to be a reflection of that.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And so I was excited because really when we look at all of the things that's happening in our world today, you can easily become despondent. You can easily become weary. And you can easily become depressed, even as a believer. But our faith and our belief and our hope is not centered around what people are, what we are going through, but what's inside of us that's going to get us through whatever it might be.
Amen.
Okay.
There's a question that says, Sister Angela Blakely says, do you see joy and happiness as the same thing?
Okay. And I think you just mentioned that because Paul was in this text mentioning joy and not happiness, because happiness really is determined by our happenings. And many times when things are not happening the way we think they should, we're not happy.
That's right.
And so we have to be clear, because many times when we go through different things, we might not feel happy.
Right.
We might not feel jubilant or excited, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when we rely upon God's word and we rely upon the word to give us what we need, even in a cold situation, we can still be warm.
Right.
Even when it's the odds are stacked against us. So yes, it's a vast difference, I believe, in joy and happy and being happy.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And part of what we're going to talk about tonight in this 16th chapter deals with
the
joy in God's presence.
Joy in God's presence.
And so even though Paul had to experience that, David had to go through it. And guess what? We've got to go through it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it comes as a result of us going through various things, because you have to distinguish what God's word is saying and what the world is saying.
Absolutely.
Because the enemy will try to get us to follow the way of the world. That passage in Romans says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be very mindful of not following what the world has defined for us as happy, being happy. But we have to make sure we're centered in God's word to have joy.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord
is our strength.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. That's good. That's a part two, Reverend. I felt that in your belly there.
Oh, you, really?
Yeah. You're going to be ready this Sunday?
I don't think so.
But we're in the 16th chapter of Psalms. And thank you all so very much. If you have other questions, please go ahead and list them. Any prayer requests, any praise reports, anything that you want to share, we want to try to get to it if we can. But in chapter 16, it's the joy in God's presence, joy in God's presence. And so this is still focused on that whole theme of God beside us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here we find in the first verse, David is asking God to keep him and to guard him and to save him. His trust and his hope is in God, and his confidence is in himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, many times we can, that's part of that whole process of the happiness and the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Many times when we put all of the emphasis on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
we can lose sight of the joy that God wants to give us that's outside of, it's in us, but it's not from us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, and it goes on to talk about that the speaker is describing his feelings towards the Lord and looks at himself.
Mm-hmm.
As his Lord, he has the right to rule over him. he finds his happiness all in God, in the worship of God.
Right, right.
All his source of anything good is in God. His goodness, we're talking about God's goodness, extended or reaches not just to us, but extends to the saints, showing that his goodness to us makes us merciful to others.
Wow. And that's still in line with that whole Philippians passage, because it should be a reflection. The light should be shining bright in us, and it should carry over to how we treat people, how we handle situations. I read that passage yesterday from the New Living Translation, and that first fourth verse says, always be full of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about being full, you have to keep your eye on the your reserve tank, because many times if you're not watching the gauge, your joy can diminish to a point where you start running on your own internal happiness and miss out on running on the joy. So you have to replenish, just like when you go to get gas station. Right. If you don't watch it, I know the other day you were saying, well, I got to get some gas. And so you have to watch that needle, because you'll run low many times. And I think a lot of times when people run low on joy, they start relying, just as David is talking about, on the inner joy that he's creating himself, and not the joy that God would have us to sustain us.
And I think that therein lies that distinction again between joy and happiness.
Right.
You know, we try to, once we run low on joy, we try to do things externally to make us happy.
That's right. That's
instead
right.
of turning to the Word of God to gain strength and to gain joy, or to replenish our joy.
Yeah.
So we have to stay at the Holy Ghost fill-up station, amen, which is the Word of God.
That's good.
In order to keep our tanks full,
yeah,
our spiritual tanks full, because once our spiritual tanks get low or get almost empty or get in that reserve, then we, like I said, rely on being happy, looking for things outside of God, or looking for things externally outside of ourselves to make us happy.
Okay, all right. And so here we see the psalmist is dealing with how he should behave, and the behavior of what he's feeling should be reflected in those whom he come in contact with.
Amen.
And so it's not just for us, but our happiness and our joy should be reflected, and others should want to know, well, how are you able to handle this? How are you able to get through difficult times and difficult circumstances? So he found his happiness not only in those who were friends of God, because see, that's why it's important for us to associate and assimilate with people who practicing the daily disciplines, and it will show up in the way we treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that he also is going through a process here where the true state of his heart is indicated by his love for them, talking about his friends and finding happiness in friendship, as well in love of those who love God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we hang around people who are going somewhere and who are excited about the Word. I know you said yesterday, and we've indicated it before, how we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something powerful and unique that happens when we assemble ourselves that can't be transferred through the medium of a virtual medium.
Right.
And so it's important that we assimilate in such a way that we are connected, and that that experience helps us and helps others that are going through it. And we might not even know what their situation is.
That's right.
But because they are in the fellowship, they're in the house of God, and God will move. He will move in somebody else's situation And you might not feel nothing. But when we're together on one accord, some powerful things happen every time.
Amen. All right. We're in the 16th chapter of Psalms. We're around verse number 4, I believe.
That's right.
And it says, their sorrow shall be multiplied, that hasten after they hasten after another God. That means that their sorrows concerning the idols multiplied. Worshiping idols, choosing to follow the world of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Their drink offerings of blood will be offered or forbidden to the Israelites. They will not acknowledge idol gods as objects of worship or speak their name from their lips. So it's talking about how they are choosing other gods, and if they choose other gods, how their sorrow will be multiplied,
right.
And their drink offerings will be poured out like blood. All right. And so it's saying that, you know, that he was going to reject such things.
Right, right, right. And I think it's about how many verses in this particular chapter? About 11 verses?
Yes.
And so the Lord was worshipped as God by David, as the psalmist, and all of his possessions that he had been able to gather, it came from the Lord. And he understands that in order for him to have, and here that word is happiness again, in order for him to have the kind of happiness, the kind of joy that comes from the Lord, he had to acknowledge the fact that the disciplines were in order for him to fully be appreciative of what God had done for him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. The Lord was worshipped as God by the psalmist.
Mm-hmm.
All his possessions and inheritance came from God. With the cup, he was sustained as he finds comforts and happiness in God's perfection and friendship and not in sensual joys. Defending his portion allotted to him, that we're talking about his inheritance.
Right.
And that which was so valuable or dear was preserved by God. His joy, which he maintained and preserved, all which was dear to his heart.
Okay. And that's, we're in the 14th chapter for those who are, I mean, the 16th chapter for those who are just joining us of Psalm. And Lady Kim, we're just kind of walking through that tonight, but we really want to move forward. And if there are questions, then feel free to list them there. But David is being very expressive here in that 7th verse. I think
yes.
He talks about how he will bless the Lord.
Yes, for giving him counsel.
Yeah, for giving him counsel, and how he will serve God, and how appreciative he is for what God has done for him, and how the Lord is the one who's leading him in the right way and in the right path so that he can feel internally the joy of God and not rely on, you know, surface stuff to get him through what he's going through.
Absolutely. And then when it goes on to verse number 8, you know, night or day,
mm-hmm.
he has private meditations and public professions,
okay.
always in the presence of God. And you know that 8th verse talks about, I keep the Lord always before me because he is my right hand and shall not be moved.
Mm-hmm.
And we know God does not move. We move, but God does never move.
That's right. So that all of that has to do with your disciplines. And we talk about it a lot, but it's important that you continue to maintain your spiritual disciplines, prayer, reading the word, fasting, praying, however you exercise those disciplines to stay connected with God,
mm-hmm.
Being in the worship experience, being in on the sound teaching, and not just relying on others to teach, but you have to study
yourself.
Mm-hmm. And confirmation comes even when you're going through a difficult time, because the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord.
Yes.
And God will confirm things for us We can be reading a passage, or we can be reading His word and going through, and all of a sudden something will jump in your spirit that God is speaking to you, and you go to God in prayer. And we believe in the power of prayer, and we know that prayer works. And but you have to make sure you surround yourself with disciplines, because your tank will run empty, and you'll find yourself on reserve, and the enemy will definitely take advantage of you, and you'll easily find yourself going back to doing things that you used to do to try to survive when you're in a crunch. But make sure now that you develop some kind of spiritual discipline to each and every day, and not just when you're going through or when you're having trouble.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And so, you know, to end this psalm, he talks about how his heart is glad.
Right.
And his glory rejoices because his confidence and belief is in God alone. His entire body shall rest in hope and confidence, expecting to rise and live again. How his soul would not suffer to remain in the underworld or in a dark and gloomy place. Mm-hmm. He will not suffer his holy ones to return to corruption. And the last verse talks about how his path of life will be brought back to the living world, resurrection of the dead, and found in heaven at the right hand of God. The eyes of the psalmist are fixed in God's presence in heaven. Is fullness of joy, not partial joy, not imperfect joy, not joy maligned with pain and sorrow, but unclouded joy that will not be diminished.
Wow.
The right hand is the place of honor and refers to the place which the saints will occupy in heaven, mm-hmm. based on the doctrine of the resurrection.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And so the Lord is our keeper. He's our help. He's our present help in our time of need. And we don't have to wait till we get in trouble to make sure that we are in alignment with what God requires of us. Because all of us go through difficulties and trials and, yes, even tribulation. But God wants to give us His joy. He wants to give us joy that will keep us in the midst of whatever we might be faced with. Lady Kim, I don't know who we're talking to tonight, but, you know, people are going through, and some people are trying to do everything they can to handle their stress and the, you know, perplexities of life the best way they can. But I want to encourage you tonight to make sure that you connect with God outside of even what we're doing here tonight. Spend some personal quality time with Him. Get in that word and allow that word to be a seed and fertile soil unto your soul. And you'll see how that will replenish you when you're going through difficulty and you're going through trials.
Amen. Amen. As wrapping up chapter 16, mm-hmm. a kind of theme for that is the Lord is our special help.
That's right.
And gives us the joys of life.
Okay. All right, so that moves us right into 17, and we got a tall order before us tonight. We got, Lady Kim said we're going to handle chapter 18 tonight, and that's going to be a tall order for us, but mm-hmm. I believe we can get through it. What you think?
We can try. That's all we can do is try to get through it.
All right.
Because 17 has 15 verses.
Uh-huh.
So
it starts out talking about, with chapter 17 of Psalm, it starts out talking about deliverance from the wicked. See, you know, this it's interesting how all of this is happening, because once you gain your joy, then you're going to need that to be. Here comes the enemy. You're going to need it in order for you to be sustained, in order for you to get through that that situation that the enemy is going to try to throw your way. And if we don't stay close and connected to God, it's going to be very hard for us to have the kind of joy that we need in order to really make it through.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
That's right.
Because
absolutely.
Sickness will come, death will come, friends will forsake you, people will walk away, your money will get funny, your change will get strange. And if you haven't been disciplining yourself to stay in this word, You'll react differently than you would if God was speaking to you in terms of how you ought to behave and how you ought to handle that situation.
Amen. Amen.
And so this one talks about deliverance from the wicked.
Amen.
The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So here David is praying. He says, this is the prayer. The prayer is that the Lord would regard that which was right, vindicate the psalmist from that which was wrong, and be consistent as a just God who would be giving and honest and utterance prayers. And he wants the Lord to hear his prayer. And so he tells the Lord, give ear to my concerns and what I'm going through. And then he talks about how he needs God to really help him, and he wants to be sincere from his heart so that God will extend favor in his hour of need. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when you try to be deliverance, when he asks him for deliverance from the wicked, you have to come right before God. You gotta be sincere in what you're asking God to do. Your heart has to be right. And this is the same David that said, create within me a clean heart. And renew the right spirit within me. And sometimes that's a personal assessment of ourselves that only you can see, because many times we want to put up a different image in front of people that they don't see that real image of who we are and what we're trying to keep as a image before other people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
The psalmist also wants his judgment or his sentence to come forth from God. He wants him to examine the case with his own eyes and determine things that are just and right. So he wants justice or equality for those. He wants to be vindicated.
That's right. That's right.
He wants God to see, what they've been doing. In the third verse, it said, if you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me.
Mm-hmm.
My mouth does not transgress.
Okay.
So he's really saying he's conscious of his own innocence and those persecuting and opposing him. His character has been inspected in solitude, in the darkness of night. And God examines or has tried the psalmist's character and subjected him to a trial, searching but finding nothing that gives his enemies just cause. The psalmist says he's proposed or he's resolved and will not transgress the law, and for God not to not go beyond what is right.
Okay. And so it really, if we could break this down into sections and move through 17, we know that the first part of it, David wants the Lord to hear his prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to make sure that God deals with his enemy, and he wants God to uphold him.
Right.
And then David, I think in 6 through 11, he wants God to hear his prayers and deliver him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wants him to show him loving kindness and to keep him to hide him. Mm-hmm. And make sure that everything that he's asking for, that God will indeed come and see about him, because he's in a desperate situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you see in verses 12 through 15, how the enemies are like a lion waiting for him. And so David wants the Lord to deliver him and with his sword.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants him to really handle his business. That's what he said. And deliver me from these men and help me, oh God. I need you to come and see about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so David just wants God to look down from heaven and resolve the situation.
Amen.
And I think many times when we go through, it feels as if the enemy is coming in like a flood. But we have to raise up a standard. Isn't that right, Lady
That's
Kim?
Right.
And we know that no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. And so we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. And in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path. So Amen. How would you kind of summarize this 17th. I keep going backwards, though.
Yeah.
How would you just kind of put a handle on 17 for us tonight?
Well, to know God is to feel good. Seeing him and knowing him, we know that all is well between us. You know, so when we do what's, in other words, when we do what's right by God, God will do what's right by us.
Wow, that's good.
You know, God looks after those who acknowledge him and attempt to do his will. So to know God is to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
To know God is to feel good. Seeing him and knowing him means that everything will be well with our souls.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, well, we're moving on. We're going to 18, and we're going to keep rolling. So how many verses?
50.
50 verses? This is going to be a tall order for us to try to finish tonight, Lady Kim, but this, we're a little bit ahead of where we had anticipated we'd be, but this is good. We don't want to get in such a hurry till we don't really do justice to it, because after we finish 18, we're going to jump right into 19 and move over into 20, but we're not going to finish all of this tonight. But this has to do with David. He's calling upon God in distress. He's already going through some time of deliverance in 17, and now we find him calling upon the Lord in distress. And it's still dealing with that section where it talks about God beside us. And that song, and he walks with me and he talks with me. What is the name of that song? I come to the garden alone. Mm-hmm. Is that in the garden?
Yes, in the garden.
Mm-hmm. And so that's God being beside us, and that's God being there even when we don't feel him, when we don't think he's there. He's there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever get to a point where you think God is not there, you got to look at who moved, because God didn't move.
Right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Isn't that right, Lady
Kim?
Yes. And so the psalmist declares that he would love God, the source of his strength. God is our strength. God is our source. He is the joy of our salvation. And so David starts out by acknowledging the fact that he declares that he would love God, who is the source of his strength.
Amen.
So whatever your situation or your difficulty might be, start where you're supposed to start.
Yeah.
And start by acknowledging the fact that God is your source, and that in him you live, move, and have your being. And without him, we are nothing and can do nothing. But when you start acknowledging, that's just like that, the Lord's Prayer. When you start out properly, acknowledging God, honoring him, you know, going through the process and protocol of letting God know how much you appreciate him and that he is the source and that you are nothing without him, then the Lord will come and do some powerful things on your behalf. I think that moves the hand of God when he sees that our heart is right and that we're acknowledging him.
Amen.
In the proper perspective.
Amen. And I want to remind us, too, to keep in mind that these psalms were actually many of them songs
mm-hmm.
that David wrote in his time of despair, when he was crying out to God
right.
for vindication, for deliverance, for God to do something about his enemies. And so, you know, in that second verse, with that in mind, the psalmist talks about his Lord is his rock, his safety, his fortress,
mm-hmm.
the deliverer. His God was his protector, his helper, his friend, his strength. All of these adjectives he talked about. God was his strong tower, his protector, his trust, his buckler, his horn of salvation. All of this was God, because he saves him from his enemies. And David knows that. God saved David time and time again. You know, he allowed him to slay Goliath. He allowed him to kill a bear and a lion. God, he allowed him to escape the wrath of Saul. He allowed him to have Jonathan as a good friend, to keep him from all of his enemies, so from all of his foes. So he is in every way, that means I'm talking about God, is in every way worthy of our praise. He, because he delivers us from our enemies.
Okay, that's good. And so this psalm really just kind of helps us even understand how we need to acknowledge who God is and how God surrounds us, just as he did David when he was going through his sorrow and how he was going through being overwhelmed. The same God that was there to protect David is the same God that's able to protect us. As a matter of fact, God will intervene. And David acknowledges that that God is the source and that God is his help and his strength, and that he would intervene. And I think many times when we're faced with situations that we don't completely understand, and we think that God has forgotten about us, don't grow weary, because God has not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you. The word says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said he'd be with you always,
always,
even until the end. And so the mighty intervention of God in verse number 7 occurs like a storm or a tempest rock, how it shakes and how it trembles. The foundations of heaven be moved, because God was angry and he was upset with what was happening, and God began to move in a powerful and a mighty way.
Amen.
I think the same way that he's moving on David's behalf, he moves on our behalf as well.
Right. Right. You know, I think all of these are kind of metaphors from David.
Right.
And, you know, he talks about how the smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire like lightning came from his mouth. Breathing resulted from being excited with anger like wild beasts. Everything seems to glow and burn with lightning. That seems to set everything on fire, the heavens and the earth in a blaze of coals on fire. And so he's really describing something here that he's witnessing.
Right. Because he talks, like you said, about the darkness and the light, and he talks about the brightness around him and how he's yet going through all of these things, but God is still they are holding him and protecting him and keeping him. And he talks about the thunder, and he talks about arrows. All of these things are being described here in this particular chapter. For those of you who are just joining us, we're in chapter 18 of Psalm, and David is coming to the realization that even though he's going through a very difficult time, he's calling upon God in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is when we are in difficulties and we're going through times of distress and persecution. And when it looks like everything is coming against us, God is there. God is working. God is still moving on our behalf. And, you know, the interesting thing about going through difficulty and trials, Lady Kim, a lot of times we don't want to go through the very thing that we need in order to strengthen us for what yet lies ahead.
Amen.
And so we have to make sure that even though we don't completely understand why we are where we are, the Bible says in Romans that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so sometimes God has to get something done in us for us to truly appreciate what he's trying to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that pushes us, I'm just kind of moving right through, Lady Kim, that pushes us over to about verse number 17, where he talks about how God delivers, and he talks about how God is helping him, and how God is bringing him out, and how God is opening the doors, if you will, and making ways for him. And so in that 20th verse, if you drop down to there, it says, the Lord saw the psalmist and did not deserve the treatment which he had received from his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, God rewarded him according to his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that righteousness a couple of weeks ago, right living and right behavior, and how our behavior ought to match our belief in God. And if we live right, you said it a few minutes ago, if we do right by God, God will do right by us.
That's right.
So that's part of what's going on here. Because in that 21st verse, it says, the psalmist says he has obeyed. Mm-hmm. That's meaning he's been doing what God required of him to do. And he has kept the precepts and the laws and have not been a sinner or openly violated his law from his God. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to be faithful and attended to what God will require of him to do.
Amen. It talks about everything God determined to be right. The psalmist said he has regulated his conduct according to God's requirement
That's statutes.
Not putting them away.
Mm-hmm.
He was upright or perfect in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
With a natural proneness to sin, he had restrained himself from his sin.
Right.
Although not the case with Uriah, he needed only to repent.
Mm. And we know the situation with Uriah and Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
and how David had to really repent openly and confess that he was wrong. And we know that God is, he hears and he answers. And if we but yet confess our sins, the Bible says he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us and to make us whole.
Yes.
And so that's what David is going through here. And the Lord is delivering him from his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reward, the recompense that David was able to receive because of his righteousness and because he was trying to do what God had required of him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there again, Lady Kim, when we live right and we do right, God sees our heart. And if we do it in the way that God would have us to do it, then we can expect God to honor his word. His promises are sure, and his satisfaction is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And David knew that God delivering him from his enemies was a reward.
That's right.
Because of his righteousness. You know, when David sinned and then he repented, then he lived a righteous life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so the Lord continued to deliver him from his enemies. We know that with the merciful, he will show himself merciful.
Okay.
For God deals with men according to their character or their conduct. He will show himself with an upright heart. An upright man will show himself upright. And an upright man is upright in heart. And is sincere and not filled with hypocrisy and is of integrity or walking upright and according to God.
Okay. That's a lot of upright right through there.
Yeah.
So you got to do right and you got to live right.
Yeah.
You got to be upright.
Said with an upright man.
That's right.
He will show himself upright.
That's right.
For the upright man is upright in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He is sincere and not filled with hypocrisy. So yeah, there's a lot of upright.
That's a lot of upright. That's a lot
you
of amen.
Right you got to be upright.
All right now. You got to do right. But look, drop down, Lady Kim, if you will, to verse number 34. And we're just moving right through here. We're in the 18th division of Psalm. You see, David, he credits the hand of God with teaching his hands how to endure and how to get out of the fix that he found himself in.
All right.
And so I think once we live right, once we do right, once we live upright before the Lord, God will show us what we need and he will give us what we need in order to get through the situation that we find ourselves in.
Amen.
And so God had saved him mm-hmm. by being like a shield.
Mm-hmm.
His salvation, his right hand was a symbol of the mighty power of God holding him up and from the snares and the mischief of the enemy. And God's gentleness and his favor and his grace and his mercy made him who he was. And so David realizes that. And as a result, God began to reveal his mighty works and his mighty hands to David.
Amen. Amen.
So we're about verse 36. So how you feeling, Lady Kim? Do you want to try to bring it to a close? Because we're about 10 minutes till.
Yes, you think so? Yeah,
we can pick it back up
on 36 or 37. 36. We'll pick up
36, and then we want to encourage you to read the remaining of the 18th chapter, and then just go ahead and read 19 and 20. And I think the noonday there at 17, and so we can probably get through 21 on next week, and that's a stretch. But if we can stop here for tonight at verse number 36 of the 18th chapter of Psalm, and then we want to encourage you to go ahead and read the remaining of that, and we'll start there on next week, and we'll go through 19 and 20 and maybe even tackle 21.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So this has been a great study. We're good to see each of you. Brother Andrew, it's good to see you on tonight. We hope that you're doing better. Andrew had a real bad accident he was telling me about, and we want to make sure we put him on the prayer list. Somebody broadsided him, and he ended up hitting somebody, and the car just came out of nowhere. But God has sustained him, and it could have been worse than what it was. Mm. But we praise God for Brother Andrew, and we thank God for his keeping power tonight.
Amen, amen. We also, of course, want to lift up the family of our dear mother, Lillian Briscoe, who made her transition to be with the Lord on Saturday, I believe it
was.
Early Saturday morning.
Well,
the arrangements are finalized. There will be a wake held on Friday evening from 4 to 7 at MJ Edwards on Elvis Presley Boulevard. And then the funeral will be held at ATOP at 12 noon on Saturday. But there's a viewing from 10 to 12, and the funeral will begin at 12 noon at ATOP. So we hope you will continue to lift up the Briscoe family in your prayers, and all of our sick and shut-in that are on our sick and shut-in list.
That's right. That's right. I had a chance to see one of the videos of Brother Darryl Taylor. He's going through his rehab.
Okay.
And he's working, and it seems like he's getting adjusted. So, Darryl, if you own or your wife, know that we're yet praying for you. And there it is right there. It just came up. We're praying that you continue to endure this physical therapy. And one of the things I found out is that the physical therapy is really the key.
Yes,
and if you do it and you go ahead and push it, then you're going to see some immediate results. And I was watching your video of Darryl today, and he's doing an excellent job, Lady Kim. I think he's ready to go ahead and try to go ahead and cut loose by himself. But they were working him through, you know, but he's doing an excellent job.
That's good.
So we continue to keep him in our prayers.
Amen. Amen. The others that are on our sick and shut-in list, of course, Brother Charles Burcham.
Uh-huh.
We want to lift him up in prayer. And also, my memory is failing me right now.
You don't have too much memory left now, really.
Not after this week, anyway.
I know, right?
We want to lift up, of course, a brother, Thomas Doggett, who will be going in for surgery in a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to pray ahead of time.
That's right. That's right.
God's hand will be upon him. And let's see, who else? Brother Charles Reynolds. We want to continue to lift him up in prayer. We want to lift up our niece, Darlene Cleveland, as she prepares to make a transition in her life to a new location.
Mm-hmm.
So we're praying for her. And Betty and Edward Radcliffe
in
Chicago, visiting their daughter, and Brother Radcliffe became ill in Chicago. So we're lifting him up in prayer, as well as Sister Betty.
Okay. All right. Well, Kim, would you close us with a word of prayer tonight, as we already heard those mentioned, and I believe that it's already a prayer that's going up before God, but will you just go ahead and close us
absolutely,
up?
Absolutely. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. how we lift up our voice to you in prayer and praise. We thank you for the study on tonight, God. We ask, oh God, that as we continue to go forth, we know that you will fight our battles for us if we just trust and believe in you. We thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, even the difficulties in our lives, oh God, that made us stronger and brought us closer to you. We thank you for those, because if we never had a problem, we wouldn't know that you could solve them. So we thank you, oh God. Then we thank you for the blessings, oh God, that you have bestowed upon us. Even the small blessings, God, we give you thanks for. And God, we ask your blessings to continue to be upon the bereaved family of Sister Lillian Briscoe. God, we will miss her spirit around Atop. But we ask, oh God, that you would comfort and hold and keep the family as they prepare for the final services. And then we ask that you would be with the sick, oh God, today. Continue to bless Brother Daryl in his rehab. Continue to bless Brother Charles Bertram. Continue to bless all those who are on our sick and shut-in list. Bless Brother Thomas Doggett as he prepares for surgery, God. And we thank you tonight, God. We know that you can do anything but fail. Now, God, as we commence with this Bible study on tonight, we ask that you would surround us with your love, peace, kindness, and joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, Lady Kim, thank you so very much for closing us out tonight, and we're certainly grateful for each of you who have been a part of this study. So until next week, you be blessed.
Amen. Bye-bye. Love you guys.